Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello to you, Sarah.
Well, good day, Marcus.
And hello to you, Chris.
Hello back.
There's the team, everybody. Now, are you the type of person to do as you're told? Perhaps you interpret the rules as you see fit, or maybe you don't give a damn about any authority and you do as you please. Today, we're answering this question. Do you find it hard to follow rules?
I find it hard to follow rules that I don't think make sense.
So you interpret the rules as you see fit?
Yeah, kind of. Like, if I think they're arbitrary, then I'm a bit like, well, I'm not going to do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, my wife's the opposite. She's like, Enneagram characteristic one, which I'm not even explaining the Enneagram. It's another characteristic thing. And she would just follow rules. She just does. Like, well, the rules
she's
say
an ordinary,
so
decent citizen, Chris, that we can rely and trust.
She's
upon.
A generally
who can
good
be
person.
Manipulated by the man because they're not questioning.
Here we go. Cool, blimey.
So, yeah.
We could find some great conspiracy theories in the next 25 minutes or so.
We could do. We have done that show. If you're listening and this is new to you, then go back. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good one, actually.
Yeah. If we may say so ourselves. So, Chris, see, why is it then you basically ignore some rules that you think are nonsense and you follow some which you think, yes, that's why. Is that because you think you're better than everybody else, or are you just scared of being manipulated?
I don't
got to be one of the two.
I think I fall in between the middle.
Well played.
I just think, well, why is that rule exists? I did some research before. Do you want to know some arbitrary laws in the UK?
Love
oh,
to.
Oh yeah,
mate.
Go on.
Okay. You are not allowed to be drunk in a pub.
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah. And I never am, Chris.
Yeah. Handling salmon in suspicious circumstances is illegal.
Well, yes. Is that still a thing, though?
It's still a law.
I just don't think they've repealed the law, have they?
Yeah.
Drunk in charge of cattle, cherry knocking, shaking your rug before 8 a.m. is illegal in the UK. So that's where I'm like, I want to shake my rug at 7:55. So I will, push the boundaries. Now, I think partly I do like to always find out reasons for stuff. And if the reasons I don't think are good enough, then I'll just be like, well, that's just a load of nonsense. Like, I'm just going to kind of avoid that.
Okay. Well, we'll deal with your type in a minute. What about you, Sarah?
I'm a big rule follower.
Yeah, I thought you would be.
Yeah, of course. Like, you knew I was going to say this, didn't you? Uh-huh.
That's why I set myself up as the rebel.
You are the rebel of the group, to be fair, Chris. I do not like breaking rules. It makes me very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I very much like in kind of a lot of circumstances in life, I like to know the rules and be able to operate within them. Mm-hmm. We all know how it's working. Yeah. I can't stand it when things are ambiguous and you don't know the rules.
Yeah. Well, now you do know the rules, Sarah. Just to cut in very briefly here. Have you ever been drunk in a pub, and will you ever get drunk in a pub?
Can you imagine me being drunk in a pub, Marcus?
Answer the question.
I need to imagine it. Probably seen it.
Answer the question. Save yourself for the club, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. No rules about a club, hey?
There it is. There's the loophole. It was actually a bar, Your Honour. It does,
No, I get so uncomfortable if I know I'm breaking rules. I really, really don't like doing it.
Will you find yourself uncomfortable drunk in a pub from now on?
No comment.
Or are you selective?
I would say I do feel similar to Chris in that if the rules don't make sense and they're sort of, if they're sort of contradictory, then I find that's when I feel okay kind of bending them.
Does anything leap to mind when you say that? Any particular ones leap to mind that you say that it's, I know what you mean. If you feel the rule is sort of contradictory, or you feel a rule is actually kind of getting in the way, or it's actually just a bad idea. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I'm struggling to think of one off the top of my head. I feel like I'll probably think of something as we're speaking now.
What about all beached whales must be offered to the monarch? What about that one?
You know what, Chris? I haven't got a problem with that. I'm happy to follow that rule. Speed, actually, I mean, like, I will put my hands. I've nudged the speed limit. I'm sure many people have.
Nudge
but actually, that's important. A rule that should be respected because that's there for safety.
What about the Autobahn in Germany when they don't have a speed limit?
I have never tried, but so there's no rules, so you can do what you want. Okay, here we are. Here's an example then. Like, you should not cross the road when the lights are red as a pedestrian, right? Like, it's not illegal. Even if like there's in some no countries. Cars. But you, I mean, you shouldn't. A car could speed along. Yeah, but no, hang on a bit. But like, I know you could say, but what if this? But if the rule is don't do it, that's the rule. Mm. I am happy to break the rule if it's like, well, I'm looking up and down the road. I can't hear any cars. I can't see any cars. To me, that feels like a sensible bending of the rules.
Yes.
But there are some rules that you shouldn't bend.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's interesting you mentioned Germany there, Chris. And then you mentioned about crossing the road because you're right. Is it the Autobahn it's called in Germany? You can drive as fast as you want, can't you?
Yeah.
People say, oh, what, like, but up to 100 miles? No, you can. No.
I don't like the sound of that.
You can. Why don't they? They should have a Formula One track on there. Because that would make sense, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be disruptive at all, in and out the cars. I think that would add a bit of spice to it, personally, but maybe that's unwise. But in Germany as well, though, they tend to be quite a bit more. I know people might think where we are from, the British are a bit sort of regimented and so on. Depends who you compare us to, and obviously everything's relative. But the Germans are quite heavy on the rules. And one of them is that they are very reluctant to cross the road until there's a green man. Now, I'm sure somebody would be able to get in touch and go, what are you talking about? I do that every morning. And I would say, oh, you're
the
little
one German.
Yes, you naughty little rebellious so-and-so. But they're quite, you know, you would get some tuts and some dirty looks and so on if you did that in Germany. Whereas here, you kind of just think, yeah, fair enough. You're obviously a bit quicker and on you go.
You were saying naughty little so-and-so, and that did make me think of rules. So I was even more of a rule follower when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being in school and them saying you're not allowed to wear any jewellery. And I had this ring that I used to wear. And I remember just thinking, that's a stupid rule because it's not getting in the way of my learning. It doesn't make any sense. And so I'm like, I'm not going to follow that rule because I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So when you can't see the reason behind something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a ring that went across all four knuckles.
Yeah.
No, but I think when you can't see a reason for a rule, we know there are some rules that are there to keep us safe, to ensure the sensible running of society, whatever it may be. Whereas like things like that, I remember even as a very rule-abiding child thinking, this is ridiculous.
So what about provincial nightclubs for lads, shirt and shoes, got to dress up a bit? Girls, they're ridiculous rules, aren't they? Or do you like it though? Do you like people to make a bit of an effort?
I really don't have a strong feeling. Wear trainers, wear a pair of shoes. It honestly, like, doesn't affect my day.
Yeah, that is one of the great things about going out in a. Well, it tends to be, in my experience, the more provincial clubs, and then if you go to a city, it's kind of people a bit more. Yeah, whatever.
Wear whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah, don't care. That is so freeing. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, I don't have to go back from the pub to get changed, sort of thing, or any of that.
I'll take my black socks off and put them over my trainers.
Yeah, I don't know whether they've actually got away with that. There was always that thing, wasn't there? And I'm sure a bit like, I'm quite sure a bouncer would be able to see if you've got a pair of socks on outside.
Mate, where are your shoes? You've just got massive feet under your socks.
This is the fashion now, don't you know?
I reckon, Sarah, basically, you've got exactly the same stance as me. You're just trying to sound like you don't.
I think Chris is right there.
Yeah, Chris, when you decide a rule doesn't make sense and so you decide to break it,
Like my ring at school.
Are you comfortable about that?
Yeah, because I would.
So I'm still not.
Because you're worried about being punished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or being like publicly shamed, or being, I don't know. Like, I'm one of those people who, you know, when you're going through like the security at the airport, I'm the one who worries that I've accidentally packed a load of like TNT in my bag because I just always assume I've done
something
somewhere.
Wrong. I forgot.
Whoops,
about
I accidentally
it.
Put my machete in my handbag. Yeah. I just assume I'm in trouble all the time. I like regularly. I'm just like I'm terrible. Oh my goodness! If a police car drives past me while I'm driving, I'm like, oh my god, was I accidentally going 150 miles an hour?
Did I register that shotgun that I don't have?
Sarah,
do you get help on a regular basis?
I should hope so. I should very much hope so.
What about you, Marcus? Go on.
I could try and word it and be clever, but I think I'm the same as yourself, Chris, really. I think, and you, Sarah, though, I, again, I... I don't want to be caught out, but I'm loath to say this. But well, studies did find that young men were more likely than out of any group in our society, especially compared to women, to break lockdown rules and instructions and all that kind of stuff. And I do think, and I'm sure we're working at this as a society, well, I hope so, but I do think there is maybe a male-female thing here going on. But I'm slightly reluctant to say that because I know, you know, you're on sort of slightly thin ice there. But I think, I'm not saying what the reasons are for that. I'm not saying that's good or anything. But I just, in my experience, I think, from what I've observed, I think definitely with men, they usually reach a certain age and they just don't give a damn. That is not something to necessarily celebrate or anything. That is what I've sort of noticed, you know, as I'm hurtling towards middle age myself. I see, you know, some of my peer group, some people older, I'm just like, yeah, they really don't care. I don't know whether that's because certain characters, certain celebrities, you know, certain behaviours are reinforced in, I don't know, programmes, comedy, whatever it may be. There's something there, perhaps.
I do also think that as you get older, you have much more life experience and you know, I think you get more and more perspective on what's a big deal and what's not. And
yeah,
you can base things on your previous life experience.
Guys, you were saying, isn't it? So is there like a sense of entitlement as well? Like, I'm a bit better than everyone else, so therefore I'm not going to follow the rules.
Okay, so that's...
I'm a bit arrogant.
There's definitely something there. A study was done in 2018 by Cornell and the Harvard Medical School.
Ooh, fancy. Oh, I remember that.
Well, just in case you don't, Chris, they found that people who see themselves as special or have privilege that maybe others don't are more likely to ignore instructions and rules, which, of course, most people would follow. And they essentially think that the rule breakers in this case, it's unfair for them to follow rules because they know best. And one line that one of the people conducting the study said, the entitled people did not follow instructions because they would rather take a loss themselves than agree to something which they think is unfair. So they would rather not follow that piece of guidance and then be, I don't know, physically hurt or lose out in some kind of way.
Or something.
Because it was probably, maybe it's a control thing, isn't it? Because it's like, well, that was my decision.
Yeah.
And you often see this, don't you, with... again, without getting too sort of political and so, but your usual sort of stereotype of certain voters where it's like, this is my land, piss off, you know, every person for themselves. I've made my decisions, you know, you work, there are no factors involved in life other than trying and working hard and all that kind of stuff. And of course, trying and working hard is a good thing and it should be rewarded. But, you know, I would suggest that that's one of a number of factors, maybe, without getting too bogged down in this. So I think it does make sense, this. And also, many studies found that, not just studies, but I'm sure something we could all get behind, is that people who are in power are more likely to break the rules, even if it is them who created the rules. Because again, there may be a feeling of, well, these rules are for you lot, but I know better. But it ultimately goes back to that, I know better.
Well, so this is where I think there's a very good example that I'm sure we all remember from 2020, when the UK was in the middle of lockdown, and without making this sort of too political, but it was a very big story when it was found out that Dominic Cummings had quite seriously broken the laws when we were in the depths of lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it was said, the police said after that they noticed that there was a lot less rule following and that people were literally citing Dominic Cummings breaking the rules.
A member of the government.
Yes. He was, I can't remember what his role, he had some made up role in the government. Yeah. But they were sort of citing him and saying, well, you know, like, he didn't have to do it, so why should we?
Yeah.
And so when you see hypocrisy, as you said, Marcus, you see the people who have created the laws not following them, that then makes other people go, well, in that case, why should I follow them?
Yeah. I mean, if you're voted in by people to create things and so on, I understand, you know, power corrupts, doesn't it, ultimately? I mean, I know a few people who have been to, you know, like the proper sort of poshest and most expensive schools in the country where often our political leaders come from. And they said, you are taught, you lot are more privileged. You've been given this amazing education. You've been given this amazing chance in life. You know, use it wisely. But of course, that immediately sets in your head, oh, okay, so I'm more privileged, therefore I need to use my powers correctly. Well, that can go two ways. That can have somebody go, actually, yeah, I really need to remember that and be on that. And other people can, you know, with all the best intentions, go, yeah, no, you're right, I have been more privileged than other people. And that sometimes can create an unhelpful mindset with regards to this particular rule breaking with powerful people.
Instead of instilling a sense of responsibility, it instills a sense of entitlement. So they're like,
yes,
yeah, okay, fine, I'm going to set the rules, but I'm thinking it up, so I'm going to do what I want. One thing I want to come back to is you said about people's liberties, and obviously we've just come out of this period of 18 months of lots of new rules to protect people from the pandemic. And I remember I listened to the Daily podcast quite a lot, and they did a lot in the early days about how asking Americans to wear masks was such a hot potato topic. Like, and it's this, and America obviously prides itself.
Same here as well.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe in the media there it felt a lot more of
a
debate.
More fiery about it.
Yeah. And like, America is, you know, self-titled the land of the free and the brave. And it's this idea of freedom and liberties, isn't it, as well? Like, you're taking away my liberties. And I wonder if that is another thing. If you're quite strong on the concept of your individual freedom, then there's also the problem with
that's
that
really
is
good
then
point.
You're impinging on other people's freedom as well. So like, that's quite a freedom's quite a it's a totally different show, but it is quite a difficult thing to get your head around, because if I'm totally free and I do what I want, then that might take away from your freedom. So do I fully believe in the concept of freedom or just my freedom?
Yes, I see what you mean. But I think if you're the more free, people will often say that, well, I want to be freer, I want to be able to do this, that, that. They want less rules, essentially.
They want to be the captain of their own ship, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. I find, you mentioned America, another country that I find quite fascinating with regards to rules is Japan. Now, I've never been there, but having watched a few documentaries, listened to a bit of stuff around it and so on, that I get the impression, I could be wrong, but I get the impression they are very much people who follow the rules. And and there's some fascinating things there. I remember, do you remember the, I forget his name now, he's quite a mad Canadian comic, and he went over there to do this sort of documentary, is aggrandizing it too much, but he went over there to kind of piss around in Japan, essentially, and he found that the people, I would say to their credit, one could argue, created a very sort of prosperous society and whatnot, they were very, very regimented and followed the rules to an absolute T. And I would, one might argue to the point of it being quite crippling, that people were maybe too regimented and didn't speak up, and that can, you know, can have its problems elsewhere. But of course, it can provide a great benefit to society as well. But in fact, there's all these little sort of hidden rules. Like, nobody eats while walking in Japan is another thing. That if you're seen eating while you're walking, it's like, oh, no, you don't do that. Stop. You need to stop, kind of thing. Now, maybe that's because they're thinking digestive system or something like that. I don't know. But it's funny how another country, how stuff plays out.
Now, I'm going to ask questions, but I don't think either you're experts on Japan.
No.
So... But it's more of a, is it quite an honor-based culture? Like, there's a lot of things to do with honor and stuff. So again, if that plays into it as well, like not the walking and eating, but the following the rules, you honor the system and the rules.
And there's also a thing, and I'll tell you where I learned this, is from Queer Eye, the makeover show. They did a season in Japan, and there was someone who was saying, there's this well-known saying in Japan, and I think it's the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. This idea that you should conform and everyone should conform to the same things. And so being free and different, and, you know, I think in our society, we very much value uniqueness and I do what I want and I'm so creative and different to everybody. Whereas I think the kind of culture there is, and obviously that's, you know, a generalization, but it's a bit more about fitting in and conforming.
Yeah, and both have
tall poppy syndrome somewhere else in another country as well. Like the tall poppy gets cut down as well.
And it
is that thing of like, don't stick out. And I don't think it's just them. I think there's various cultures around the world which don't want to celebrate the uniqueness as much.
Well, and there'll be areas of our culture as well that people will find quite restrictive and so on, especially how we use our language. You know, it's all very polite and this, that, and the other. Yeah. You know, crying out loud, get over yourselves, you know.
We don't say what we actually mean. Yeah, you should come around for dinner sometime. You never come around for dinner, but I'm just going to say that.
Whatever you do, don't do that. But there is something, though, that it's quite refreshing when you're in a faraway land. And you don't have the kind of, say, health and safety rules that you do here.
No, I don't like that at all.
I'm thinking, have you ever been to the Southern Hemisphere that's not Australia and New Zealand? You know, like it's just wonderful. Like, I mean, you're right, Chris. You turn up and you just think, right, okay, well, here's I don't know the boat we're traveling on. Oh, don't worry about a life jacket or I don't know whatever it may be. I'm doing.
You think that can't be legal? And they're just like, well, yeah. It's almost like they haven't thought about it being a legal issue. They're just you.
I went for anybody who's been to Peru. I went sandboarding there in the desert. Now sandboarding itself, I can take or leave. But
he sounds very cool right now, doesn't he? I was in Peru and I was sandboarding in the desert. Yeah.
Yeah, but I did say I could take or leave.
Finding myself.
Yeah.
And
it was on my gap year.
The sandboarding I can take or leave, but the getting to the desert in the dune buggy was absolutely magnificent. Oh. And I to put it into context.
Sarah's shaking her head for
absolutely
everyone.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry. Literally, as you're speaking, I'm like tensing up.
Sarah, honestly, right? We
hit her head on the keyboard.
We were in this hostel, and there was this fella who had been. He was at the bar, getting drunk on his own, pretty much all night. Fair enough. He was having a good time. He was clearly like a member of staff or something there. Anyway, we had a late night. And we woke up the next morning, and blazing sunshine. Of course, we're in the desert. And we were like, oh yeah, we're doing the sandboarding. Anyway, we walked past the sort of the bar area and that guy was still propping up the bar. And we thought, blimey, he's done very well. No, anyway. No. So
it's been illegal doing
off.
That over here.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it wasn't a pub though, it was a hostel bar. And we get into the dune buggy, right?
No, I know what's coming.
And he jumps in the driver's seat.
Oh no, absolutely not.
I'll tell you what, it was like being in the Millennium Falcon. It was absolutely but you get to a state though, which I've
imagine
never
you're
got.
In the back with your head in the brace position, like standing chanting.
But you get to a you
saying
get
your
into
prayers.
A, you get into a state of mind that you don't ever really hear unless there's genuine sort of disaster. Where I was like, I think I might die, but like, but I'm okay with that.
Lovely.
Like this is genuinely utterly thrilling. Like all my senses have come to the surface and I can't get enough of this. It was the strangest thing, like going up and down those dunes and all that. It was mayhem. But again, like it was the kind of experience you just wouldn't get in this country or in the European Union.
Because you might die.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is though, is that sometimes when the rules are kind of taken away or what you know to be the rules, There is that kind of freeing feeling of, actually, I don't mind a little bit of this, but I wouldn't want to live in a society where this was the norm. Let me say that for the record.
So, saying about that, about, you know, like traveling and being in different countries, I actually, surprise, surprise, I find it very stressful because you know how there are like sort of rules, societal rules and customs. So, for example, you know, we live in London where, you know, there are certain things. You always stand on the right of the escalator. You always let people out of the tube first. You know, rules like that. And when you're in another country, or sometimes even another city, and you don't really know the rules, that feels very stressful. Because I don't want someone to think, she's so rude, or, oh, lol, look at her, she's, what an idiot.
Yeah. So will you be in another country then, Sarah, and literally be worried about that? Because it wouldn't cross my mind until someone had said, oh, did you know that you shouldn't have done that? And I'd be like, oh, I just didn't think about it.
I
won't even think about their rules. I'll just be like, well, someone will tell me.
I will be constantly looking around trying to see like, right, so what's the queuing system here? How does this work? Am I doing it right? Am I offending people? Like,
But Chris, you've been to some very interesting countries around the world that perhaps many people haven't when you used to work for the UN. So there must have been sort of rules and customs there.
But you work for the UN, you can't be arrested. You don't worry about it,
so he just goes around, you know, firing his gun and goodness knows what else. But there must have been times when you became aware of some funny rules or maybe you're broken. But again, you're saying that you're just not bothered. You'll suck it and see. You'll see on as you go, oh, well, I've broken that now.
And I'll also try it as well. So I remember going to New York and It was in September in the UN General Assembly.
What an exotic location. No one else. So you've been to all these places. He's like, I've been to New York.
Yeah, it was lovely. It's just like London, but bigger. And yeah. And the UN General Assembly's on, and they were. I was in the queue, but I wasn't going to this UN General Assembly. That's obviously the big wigs, the big dogs. And they come along the queue or the line, if you're American, and they ask, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm on holiday. Oh, what do you do? They're quite aggressive in their questioning. Mm. And I was like, oh, I work for the UN. And because obviously loads of UN delegates had come through. Mm. That were supposed to be ushered through really quickly, they were like, oh, come with me. And I would just jump at it, even if it's not like the right thing to do. I'd be like, yeah, of course. Well, why not? And I could have got told off, but I'd be like, no, I'll go for it. Like if I've got an opportunity, I will, I'll break for it. I'll go for it.
Yeah, I totally get that. I was very proud of a friend of mine who was working at, what was he? No, he wasn't working. It was around the Olympics when the Olympics were in London. And he had a lanyard on, essentially. But it wasn't because he was working there. He was doing something else.
A lanyard can actually give you so much power.
Oh, and he got into loads of stuff. Because he was just walking on, just went, I'll just chance it. And but Sarah, you wouldn't do that. You would feel...
So, if I was in that situation Chris was explaining, I would then immediately be saying, oh, no, yeah, but exactly. I'm not one of those people, oh, no, don't worry about it. Oh, because I get so worried about getting into trouble.
What do you think that is? Why was it? Is that a simple upbringing? You've not been dragged up like Chris?
Maybe. My mother listens to this show.
Yeah, God bless her. God bless her.
And I'm sure Mrs. Gall is great.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I don't know why it is.
See, in my head for that instance, I would have, I wouldn't have lied and said, yes, I'm part of the delegation. I just wouldn't have said anything. I would have been like, well, you should have made that clearer, or you should have asked me. Like, that's not my responsibility. That was them.
So you go for a bit of legalism then? You go for a bit of legalism when it suits you, because there's not you kind of go, well, nobody said you cannot come through here, or, you know.
And so that is how I am as a vicar.
Yes,
which obviously means, and people think religion has a lot of rules.
Whenever he thinks,
that's why it's good to study religion, because therefore you can actually see what the rules are or aren't, and what people try and impose as rules because they like control, and it's a place where people can do that.
But does it frustrate you then, Chris, when people, no doubt you talk to a lot of people about why you're a vicar or what you do, and they will say about, you know, rules about, you know, Christianity and so on, perhaps misunderstanding the concept of grace.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember a mutual friend of ours, Marcus, I think there's a lot of guidance in there and less rules than we think. And I think if you like structure and rules, because some people do, some people, they need structure in their day and they need that, then that's a good thing for them. But I think a lot of the time there's a lot of crap wrapped around truth, and therefore we don't see the truth because it's just hidden by a load of nonsense. Yeah. And so I think that's why it's always good to explore these things for ourselves. Mm. So I think
people want to follow rules. I think we all want, we all need rules. I mean, there's no two ways about that. But I think ultimately we want to be told what to do, but we don't want anybody to tell us. I think that's it.
As in,
you think to yourself, right, well, I need to know the lie of the land. I need to know where I can walk, or where I can, you know, where I buy that, or where I shouldn't go, or how do I get that service, or whatever it may be, or how fast can I drive, whatever. But you want to almost figure it out for yourself, because it's ultimately what you're saying, Chris, earlier, and you were saying that Sarah was sort of the same, and I said, yeah, probably. Yeah. You want to figure it out for yourself and go, all right, now I've got it.
Yeah,
I kind of think I know. Yeah, that makes sense why we don't drive.
And
more
I think
than...
you want to feel like you're choosing
to
do it. So like I'm choosing to follow the speed limit
because
I know that I don't want to do it. Like, we don't like feeling like we're being told what to do.
Yeah.
But I think if we don't get given any guidelines, then it all falls apart.
Yeah, I wrote that down earlier. Like we want to exist within like a choice paradigm where I know all the information before me, and I can make the right decision and the right choice. And it's funny, a friend of mine, amazing guy, really like brilliant dad. I learned so much from him about how to be a dad. And he raised his little girl. She's 5 years old now. She's just gone to school. And in their house, it was very much, we want from a very early age to get you to learn to make good decisions. Because essentially, that's the key to life, is how to make good decisions. So they always offered choice. Would you like to do this or this? Which bit of fruit? You're still going to eat fruit, but would you like this bit or this bit? And Marcus's eyes went big when I mentioned fruit for everyone listening. And
oh, no, I did something to me like that.
Yeah. And but it's interesting. So this little girl's gone to school now, and she doesn't exist in a choice paradigm at school. The teachers say, you need to do this. And she's really struggling because she's like, can you not offer me a choice? Which is brilliant for a five-year-old to even say. But yeah. I think you're right, Sarah. Like, we want the information to make the choice. And actually, therefore, when we feel rules are arbitrary or just wrong and they're enforced on us, I think that's when we kick back a lot of the time.
And yeah. I think it's interesting you were talking about sort of parenting. You know, I'm not a parent, but I really don't like it when you hear parents say, when a child says, why do I have to do that? And a parent says, because I said so.
Yeah. And I'm your parent.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, whereas, you know, I don't want to brush my teeth. Why do I have to? If you explain why, like, I mean,
Depends, though, if their brain is developed enough to understand it. Though.
Sure. But I think just having that because I said so answer.
Yeah,
I'm sure there are times when
I think it's
children
good.
Drive you prepare mad, them, and you've just got to say it. But yeah, and I like you were saying with that little girl, Chris, like that must be so hard to then go somewhere and have any choice taken away.
I think there's a happy medium because I find it ridiculous when people treat children like adults, like very young children. And so when you say they give them a choice, that's fine, but they're eating fruit. We've decided you're eating fruit. You can have a choice within that. So it's almost like the mirage or whatever, or the
illusion of choice.
The illusion of choice, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. Whereas when some parenting techniques, it's kind of like, do you want to stay in or do you want to go for a walk with us? Or it's like, no, like, come on. That child doesn't have the same rights as an adult. And if you think it does, then ask them what political party they voted for in the last election.
They get no rights until they're 18.
Well, no, but you have to be a little bit, you know, it's a happy medium here for crying out loud.
We don't do well with unlimited choice. I totally agree with that. And I think therefore, like, it is good to limit those choices down. But it is the point where you were saying, Sarah, like, but we still want to make a choice. We still need to make a choice. I think there's something so innate within us that therefore, like, there does sometimes feel like there's this constant wrestling with rules and things like that. And I watched, there's a program on Channel 4 called The Secret Life Of, and they do like 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds siblings.
I love that show.
And there's a brilliant one where one little boy, they leave a chocolate cake in the middle, and they basically say, they don't say anything to the kids, but some of the kids are like, you're not allowed to touch that. That's the rules. Even though they've not been explicitly told that that's the rules. And then this little boy just goes and grabs a bit and eats it. And he's like, well, they didn't tell us not to. And and the psychologists are watching it. And they're saying that is actually also a sign of intelligence, because what he's doing is he's trying to figure out social norms, right and wrong, and he's pushing boundaries as well. So sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes not following the rules is this sign of, like, my mind isn't at rest and I need to find out what the truth is.
There we are. What a note to finish on, Chris. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. We are on social media at AQQAPod on Twitter and Insta. Sometimes we ask you the question, so do keep your eyes out for that. But until next week, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
We hope you choose to come back to us next week. See you then.